Welcome to the Grace Hour, friends, a daily broadcast that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges, helps him or her learn about their faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor John Love, and I'm joined in the studio today with Pastor Ronaldo Brown. And today, well, we've got an interesting theme, very interesting theme, talking about consumerism and materialism and the dangers that those two things represent in the life of the believer. And we'll be addressing that theme and invite you to join us, of course. Thank you for being with us today. We want to remind you, of course, not to forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And, of course, be sure to join us for the next broadcast coming up tomorrow as we continue to develop this theme and related themes as well. We certainly do appreciate you joining us today. Thank you so much for being with us. And a quick reminder, of course, you can participate in the broadcast. Quite simple. We're asking you if you would like to share some thoughts related to our theme. Please feel free to do so. Just give us a call, and here are the numbers for you to join us live on this, the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. The toll-free number in all of North America, well, that's an 800 number, 800-338-7060. And if you're joining us locally here in the greater Baltimore area, you could participate by dialing 410-483-3700. You want to send us an email? Go right ahead. Our email address is questions@gracehour.org. And join the chat today if you are so inclined to do so. We would love to hear from you. And, of course, you're welcome to do that as well. But when those phone lines are open, and they are throughout the entire broadcast today, give us a call. Well, Pastor Brown, interesting theme, interesting subject. The first thought that comes to my mind is what Jesus said.
Okay.
A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses.
Yeah, it's interesting how we grow in the area of valuation. What's important. And it starts when we're little. I mean, there's this whole kingdom of mine that starts to build. One of the first words you hear kids learn is mine. That's mine. And it's this age, I believe it's between 2.5 to 3, where everything is mine. They start putting their, that's mine, that's mine. Even things that don't belong to them, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. And it gets into their head and I think that fuels both of those two words, consumerism, materialism, and briefly, I want to just maybe say what those are, because some of our listeners don't know. Those are some expensive words. So I'll just say materialism is basically someone's preoccupation with possessing things, tangible things usually, and things that, and by possessing them, there's a measure of comfort that or identity that we get from them. And that's why some people, they'll go shopping is comforting for them. Going out to do things is comforting for them. So what tends to happen is, I feel bad about myself. I'm going to go out and get some new clothes or some new shoes. There's this preoccupation that satiates us. Usually we use the word materialism to attach to a person. He's materialistic. She's materialistic. Now, it's important that you can sum up materialism with one word, possessing. Possessing. In the possessing that I get, I am satiated, I'm comfortable, I'm encouraged, and I define who I am by what I possess. And Pastor Love, we'll get into that a little later. I was thinking about Luke 12, which you just quoted, Luke 12:15. A man's life is more than what he possesses. And when I think of materialism, that story encapsulates materialism and the lessons from Christ in that. And then the other word, Pastor Love, that consumerism, again, as an $8 word, that basically is what happens when you have a culture of people that are materialistic. So materialism deals with the individual. Consumerism generally speaks about a society or culture or group that are materialistic. That is when you have a group of people that are pursuing and buying things that they don't necessarily need, but that they want to possess. So when people as a group are possessing things as a culture, like you could say America is a culture of consumerism. We are very much into getting things. It's been said that the average person before the age of 20 has seen a million commercials of things advertising what you need to get. One phone's not enough. You need two. Extra pair of this. Buy this. Get this. Get this. Get this. Get this. Get this. Get this. And if I could sum up the word consumerism, I would say that word would be pursuing. So materialism, I would sum up and say materialism is possessing and consumerism is pursuing. And a good portion that Christ spoke about pursuing would be Matthew 6, right? Matthew 6 deals with my problem with consumerism, and Luke 12 deals with my problem with materialism. Materialism, this is a good way to think about it, is possessing. I'm possessing. And my life is defined. My life is maintained and identified by what I possess. And I judge myself and other people based on what they possess. Consumerism is when me and the whole culture, the whole church, everyone where I'm living, we're in this attitude of pursuing. And you don't have to be rich to be pursuing. I mean, you have a lot of guys that are not rich, but they have this whole idea of pursuing, consumerism. So that's the thought I had to start out with, Pastor. That's what those two words kind of mean. We can kind of pick it apart a little bit, looking first, I guess, at the word materialism, because what does that really mean? You know, here's a question. Maybe I'm thinking to myself, am I materialistic? I thought today, am I materialistic? Does what I possess hold me, control me, or define me? Pastor Love, I found myself saying, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, I think I am. You know, I think I am. One guy said to me, here's the tither's prayer. You'll love this. What's the tither's prayer? What I'm giving is defining what I think about you. That's a little bit legalistic, but I just said that when I look at my life, what I'm getting, is it reflective of my life with Christ? I like this idea that young people have today about being a minimalist, being simple. Well, I'm not so materialistic. I'm not so possessive. I don't have to possess things. I don't hold things so tightly. I found the things that I'm a materialistic about are things I hold tightly.
I'm reminded of what Pastor Stevens used to say about this theme, this subject, especially the possessions aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You never want to get to a place as a believer where your possessions possess you. It's okay for you to possess your possessions. Mm-hmm. Don't let your possessions possess you. Because what's the danger behind all of this?
Yeah.
It's that you will trust those things. And Jesus said, he said, you know, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. We'll end up trusting those things rather than trusting God himself personally, who promises to abundantly provide for all of our needs. So really, this comes down to what we're going to trust in or what we're going to put our faith in. In other words, Jesus said it, you pointed it out in Matthew chapter 6, you cannot serve two masters. Yeah. And so here's the challenge for every believer. You're either going to serve your possessions or the things that you can purchase or buy or obtain, or you're going to serve God. You cannot have it both ways. And this is the challenge for believers because, again, we want to make it very clear to believers today. There's nothing wrong with, you know, you might have a beautiful home. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Okay? Just don't let the home possess you. Don't make your home God. Mm. It's just a piece of property.
Right.
I know someone recently up in Long Island in New York State, their home burned to the ground. Everything was lost. Mm. But we have to ask ourselves a question, and God forbid that would happen to any of us and any of our listeners, but, you know, if that should happen, what have we really lost? Just those things.
Yeah.
You know, of course, every time I've heard someone comment about this gentleman's home burning to the ground, they say, but thank God nobody was in it, no loss of life, they're all safe. Of course, because that's what really matters.
Right.
So, again, it comes down, the danger as I see it is that we could end up trusting those things. And I think everywhere in the Bible, the message from God is clear. Don't trust stuff. There's a danger there.
Yeah, yeah. sometimes you ask yourself this question, right? Is it okay to have money? Is it okay to even be rich? I mean, there's some denominations where, or there's some believers that feel like, no, you shouldn't have, you, it's not good to have, it's not, you're materialistic because you have a nice car. You're materialistic because you got a nice house. Look at the way you dress. You go on vacations to France. Is it okay to be rich? Right? And I guess the second question I piggyback to that is spirituality defined by being poor? Which is the other side of the question.
Yeah. And of course, how often is this passage misquoted? Money's the root of all evil. That's what you hear. That's not true. It says it's the love of money. In other words, when you enter into this romantic relationship with the money, okay? Because everybody knows, most of our listeners can identify, when you're in love with something, you are obsessed with it.
Yes.
You can't stop thinking about it. Yeah. And that is the danger behind money, possessions. If you start to love them, then you're in trouble, because you don't want anything to get in the way of your relationship with God. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Mm-hmm. And you know, everything else comes after that. You love God, but you don't want to end up loving money or loving possessions or loving the things that this world can provide, because they're all passing. Isn't it interesting that everything, every single possession that we have that we might place great value upon, where does it end up? It ends up in the junkyard. Inevitably.
You're scaring me.
I know, but it's everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, I think some people maybe they can come home at night at the end of a long work day and see their home and just, you know, celebrate it and relish in it and thank, you know, maybe even thank God for it. Yeah, it's that, you know, and you've got that fence which protects you. It's your moat against the dangers of the world.
The dog.
Yes. But it's all passing.
Oh, my God.
Everything about this world is passing. The only thing that really matters is our relationship with God. And again, whether it's the Old Testament principle, we read about it in the book of Joshua, again, the children of Israel moving into the promised land, and the first battle, the first conquest, it's Jericho.
Yep.
And one of the first things that God said, do not take any of the stuff in Jericho. Now, why? And did everybody, for the most part, obey that? Yes, except one individual.
Uh-oh.
Achan. He couldn't. Now, why did he do it? Why did he take the very things that God forbade him to take? I don't know. Maybe he was just thinking, hey, you know, just get ready for a rainy day. Yeah. This is an insurance policy. In case this whole business of walking by faith and walking with God doesn't work out, in case we end up getting a real serious detour, I've got an ace in the hole. I've got the Babylonian garment. I've got the wedge of gold. I've got this stuff. And yet, you know, he ended up losing his life. Wow. It was incredible. But what was the message behind it? It was God saying, listen, you've got me. You don't need the stuff. If you need anything, I will provide it for you. I will make sure you have it. I will meet those needs. And that's Achan in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua. The New Testament equivalent is Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5.
Yes.
There they go, committing the same great mistake that Achan committed. We'll sell our land, we'll give a portion of it to the disciples and lay it at their feet and receive the applause of people, and they'll think, wow, we don't know anybody like Ananias and Sapphira. What a great sacrifice. Look at the way they give.
Great couple.
Yes. And the next thing you know, they're having a funeral service for that great couple.
That's what
Because they were trusting in that, just in case. But whether it's the beginning of the conquest of the land, God was making a statement at the outset, don't trust stuff. Or the beginning of the church age with Ananias and Sapphira. Again, what was God saying? Don't trust stuff. Everywhere in the scriptures, God says, you've got me. If I'm not enough for you, then maybe you should rethink placing your faith in me.
That's a great answer to that thought. So what you're saying, Pastor Love, you're saying like, okay, it's not bad to be rich. It's not bad to be well off. It's not bad to be successful. And there is, so at the same token, you're also saying that it's that bad to be poor. And that's another thought that's out there that happens a lot. People say poverty's a demon. Prosperity message. Godliness is gain. I mean, they literally tell you, I was in a, that's the love. I was in Zimbabwe. I was at a meeting and next door, the guy said, okay, everybody go outside and touch the car you want because God's going to give it to you. Just because of your faith, he's going to honor your faith. Put your hand on the car that you want God to give you, and he's going to give it to you because of your faith and because of your walk. He's going to give you that. And then there's this promotion that spiritual success is connected to gain, to prosperity, like you have to have it. Like, and I think this has really affected the way Christians live their walk with God. Like the Christians that have the car, that have the job, that have the big house, it's almost like a badge of honor for my walk with God. Like, okay, well, he has to be walking with God. Look at the way he dresses. Look at his house. Look at his car. And you, on the other hand, you're unemployed. You shop at the Bend Down Boutique. You know, all of a sudden now things are different. So you obviously you don't have enough faith. It's huge in the church. I mean, I won't say consumerism is really in the church, but I will say that this desire for prosperity has produced materialism in the church today.
Yeah, there's no question about it, and it's a danger. The danger shifting the emphasis of our trust onto those things rather than placing that trust completely in God himself. And I think, again, go back to that Old Testament principle of the children of Israel, Achan in particular. You know, God said, listen, you're not going to get what you need by taking matters into your own hands and providing for yourself. You can't trust your own resources. You can't trust your own ability. I will be everything that you need. And I think that was the message in the book of Joshua. Think about it. You know, who brought you through the Red Sea? God said, I did.
That's true.
Who brought you across the Jordan River? I did. Who led you across on dry ground? I did that. You know, who appeared to encourage Joshua before the conquest of Jericho? God said, that was me. Who brought down those walls at Jericho? I did that. You know, who has fought and delivered his people over and over and over again? God said, me. And it was his way of saying, listen, you can trust me. And we could say the same thing. And as far as possessions go, you know, we should be content with such things as we have. Hebrews chapter 13, for God has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there for you. I will provide all of your needs according to the riches of my glory in Christ Jesus. So we can trust him.
Yeah.
And I think that as time, you know, and experience has taught us, we really can.
Yeah, trusting God. There's this thought that says it's in the world. The prosperity message is put it in the church, but it's in the world that greed is good. 1986, Ivan Bosky got up and he spoke at the UCLA Berkeley Business School of Graduates. He said, I think greed is healthy. You can be greedy and still feel good about yourself. He got a standing ovation. Within 3 years, he's arrested and going to prison for insider trading. While he was locked up, guess what Ivan Bosky started to study? Theological correspondence courses. He found out somewhere along the line that greed is not good. Because, it's like you said, it doesn't make you content. Anyone who's greedy is not content. And if godliness with contentment is great gain, it's kind of like I can't be content without godliness. So if I'm greedy, I won't be content and I won't be godly. But that spirit is in the church, Pastor Love. People really, oh, like one person said to me, and it's all crossed our minds, that, okay, has God called me to be poor? Does God want me not to have nice things? Does God want me to suffer? Does he want me to make $35,000 when I could be making $70,000? It cannot be God's will, because, and this is the argument that I always hear. Well, God wants the best for me. God wants the best for me. And this is my season, and now is the time. And the question is, does God want his best, or does God want his will? His will cannot be for me to take that job. His will cannot be for me to live like this. Can it? I don't know. Is the plan of God based on my preference or his will? That's the real question. Because when you get into conversations like this, inevitably you end up with money and you end up with lifestyle and quality of life. And you evaluate the quality of life, Pastor Love, maybe based upon the way you compare, right? But those that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. But in the church of God, you're sitting in the church of God, you raise your hand, and you look to the left, and you see that the lady beside you has on new Italian shoes, you know, and you've got on, you know, you got on flats for Pick and Pay. But you're looking over there like, you just start making, why couldn't God bless me like that? There can be envy and jealousy that comes out of this, Pastor Love.
Absolutely. Again, one of those fundamental principles, Matthew 6:33,
yep.
Seek first the kingdom of God. As you were sharing that, those thoughts, I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, I make $35,000 a year, $70,000. Well, in America, and, mm-hmm. and again, I can't speak for other cultures, but in America, you can basically get what you want. But if Matthew 6:33 is defining our priorities in life,
mm-hmm.
well, we're going to choose a different scale of priorities.
Yeah.
We're going to choose the kingdom of God first. We're going to choose to serve God first. We're going to choose the ministry that God has called us to first. And when I say the ministry, I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the personal ministry that God has called you to step into and to function in. And if that is the case, well, we consciously make decisions to say, I'm not going to pursue money. I'm not going to pursue a fortune. I'm not going to pursue a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger wardrobe. Because again, we want to remain, and this is from that Luke 12 principle.
Yes.
Okay. You know, the man, the bigger barn syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
He had so many goods and he was prospering to such an extent that he says, I know what I'll do. I'll pull down the present barns I have and I'll build bigger barns. And people Christians can enter into the bigger barn syndrome.
Wow.
Where they can say, I've got more and I need to get more. And then, of course, he says after a while, he says, okay, I'm good now. My soul, you know, take thine ease, eat, drink, mm-hmm. and be merry. And then the next thing we read is, thou fool, this night,
wow,
your soul is required of thee.
Wow.
And then, you know, who gets all your possessions? He says, so is everyone, and here it is, who is not rich toward God. Now, some people might think, what does that mean?
Yes.
It just means rich with an attitude towards the things that God stands ready to give you.
Beautiful.
It doesn't mean I'm giving. It means I'm receiving,
mm-hmm.
because I'm believing and trusting that God, again, will do for me better than I could do for myself.
That's the tough phrase that you mentioned, rich towards God. I think I've heard that 19 times in offerings. Let's be rich towards God. Empty your pockets. On the other side, there's the argument that says Christians shouldn't have savings. Christians should have assets. And Pastor Love, that's the question. Okay, am I being materialistic because I have those things? I would say with you, no. I think that's within the will of God. What one Christian saves and another Christian saves between what them and their God, that you cannot sit there and draw a broad brush and say that, okay, what are you saving money for? Because, you know, God could take it away. It's true. I don't think God wants us to be careless in finances. I think he wants us to be wise. We should be wise to the good, right?
Yeah.
Wise to it. But let's look at this verse. I was thinking of this verse earlier. Matthew 6:33, you mentioned it. I'm going to read it. But it's one that's often quoted. It's often quoted. But in light of materialism and consumerism, what does that mean for me as a Christian? What does it mean to store up? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice that you see this seeing. You'll go at verse 24. You see this seeing, the serving. You see this seeing later on in verse 33. And now you have this storing. The storing in verse 33. How am I storing? Or what does it mean to store treasures in heaven instead of treasures on the earth? Because, so, like I said, what I just said about saving, someone could say, well, if you have a savings account, then you're storing up treasure on the earth. Okay, so what does it mean when we're talking about storing? How am I storing things in heaven and not on the earth? And what does that mean? Now, that sounds like the reward system that believers have, but I think it's more than just that.
And absolutely. Absolutely. And we want to give our listeners a chance to weigh in. Great time for you to give us a call. Phone lines are open. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number for you to give us a call on. And locally here in Baltimore, 410-483-3700. These are great topics to discuss because, again, you know, someone would say, well, you know, I've always believed that the rapture is imminent. It's going to happen at any moment. Yep. Why would I want to put any money in the bank? Would I want to, you know, prepare for the next 10, 15, 20 years? I'm out of here. Jesus is coming maybe tonight. Mm-hmm. That's right. He may come tonight, but he may not come for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you need that practical edge in your faith that says, yeah, I'm going to look forward to the future. But I'm not going to necessarily put my trust there, right? Mm-hmm. Because again, I just keep going back to Achan. Mm-hmm. What happened to him? He saw the bling.
He did.
And he forgot the king.
The land of Ing. There it is.
Okay.
Cha-ching.
He saw the bling and forgot the king.
That's a t-shirt, Cody.
Yeah. And you cannot let that happen. Should you save? Should you live life expecting that Jesus is going to come tonight? Amen. Yes, because according to the doctrine of imminence, there is nothing that has to happen before Jesus comes back and raptures the church.
Okay.
But if he doesn't and you live for 10, 15, 20, 30 more years, are you prepared for the future? And you can exercise fiscal responsibility from that perspective and do everything that you can. And I've often thought of some of our missionaries. You know, they go on the foreign mission field, and they're over there for 10, 20, 30 years, maybe even most of their lives. And then they come home. Mm-hmm. To what? You know, the world would look at them and say, you didn't prepare.
Yeah.
You know, you just served God, and look, he's left you high and dry. First of all, I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that at all. Mm-hmm. But from a practical point of view, are there some things that they can do to prepare for their futures if, in fact, Christ delays his return and doesn't come back for another 20 or 30 years?
Mm-hmm. There is. There has to be. I think as a missionary, I think on the one hand, it's like you burn it out for God as far as, okay, God has me here, but I'm only here as long as God's will is that I'm here. I could be here 5 years, I could be here 50 years, but I'm following the will of God. But I believe with the will of God, there is the wisdom of God. We don't blindly walk in the will of God careless. There's got to be some wisdom in there. And today's missionaries, many of them, they do have thoughts about, okay, if I come home, when I come home, I think it's prudent to think that way, right? That's what the Hebrew word for prudence means. It means to think a thought through to its conclusion and then act accordingly based upon that foresight. The word prudence has this mindset of foresight, where I'm thinking about what could happen and what is ahead of me, so I think about it in preparation for how I'm going to do it and whether or not it's worthy, it's profitable. It's foresight and profitability. But I think in missions sometimes there is an element of missionaries that are careless. I think sometimes we just go out there, I'm going to go out there, buy a plane ticket, and I'm just going to go, and they come back to some very rough situations. I can think I've come home at different times. I said, okay, you got to start thinking a little bit more organized than you have. It's not an area that many missionaries think about. They think about going out. They don't think about coming home. Mm. We've talked about that on Missions Monday. You know, it's like, okay, it's like you go like, I'm never coming back. It's like, we're not the missionaries we're not burning our ships at the country. That's coming back. So it's a very interesting topic to talk about. Not here today, obviously today, but just being able to think through, okay, being spiritually prudent while being spiritually faithful. I think seeking first the kingdom. I don't think preparation means that you're laying treasure up on the earth. I don't think having a decent car that runs is laying treasure on the earth. I don't think being able to take care of your family and take care of your future is laying treasures on the earth. I think it's being spiritually responsible. And I think sometimes in Christianity we can hide behind Jesus and live irresponsibly. That might be a hard word, but it's true, actually. It's very interesting. I was thinking about this verse in Matthew 6:33, one of the things that I get from that verse is that materialism helps. It seeks the wrong satisfaction. I'm looking for satisfaction based on what I have, based on who I have. I get my satisfaction in an inanimate object or a thing versus my satisfaction from God. If I've got satisfaction in Christ, then I'll find satisfaction in everything else that I possess. If I don't have satisfaction in Christ, then nothing else is going to satisfy me at all. I could think like there, because here's the thing, whatever I hold tightly, God can take tomorrow. He may not, but whatever I hold tightly, and you can always tell by the tighter you squeeze something, the more that thing, as you said, what I possess begins to possess me, and it now starts to qualify, scary version, as an idol.
And can't God place more in an open hand than a closed fist?
I mean, absolutely.
He can fill us absolutely with everything that we need. And, you know, we'll get to this in just a second. Let's go to George, who wants to share a thought about what we're discussing here today in the Grace Hour. George, welcome to the broadcast. Go right ahead.
Hi, Pastor Love. Hi, Pastor Ronaldo.
Hi, sir.
Yeah, love what you're discussing, Pastor Ronaldo, when you're talking about seek ye first, you know, God's will, you know, and to take an example, let's say a job comes up, you know, and you're working at a job and you're going to get maybe a promotion, but the schedule change is so radical to get that promotion, it now interferes with your intake of the Word of God. You know, I can't make it to this server, I can't do that, I can't. That is a check right there. If any type of thing comes that way that's going to interfere with you making, you know, with you being around the body of Christ and hearing the Word of God, that is the sustenance of your life. You know, that is where we get our food from, you know, for our spirit. You know, so you're going to starve yourself spiritually, and you may gain financially, but you're going to be miserable. You're going to be miserable.
You know, George, it's interesting the way you phrase that. If you were to ask a Christian, if I take this job and I miss church because I take that job, no one's going to say that's being materialistic. They're never going to see it like as materialism or consumerism. Okay, they're going to see it as I'm trying to improve my family and I'm trying to pay my bills. But what you're putting out is that literally, if I make a decision to take a job that'll take me from receiving the Word of God, it's materialistic.
Yeah,
that's a hard word, George. That's a hard word, because the argument's gonna, the pushback's gonna be, well, you know, you don't understand. I gotta take care of my family. I gotta do this. I gotta do this. It's tough. That's a tough road to hoe. That's tough.
Yeah. But
George, do you think that God is asking us a question? In the context of our discussion today in the Grace Hour, and the question is, are you trusting me and me alone? Are you trusting in me alone? That is not to say that you can't be blessed with possessions and to prosper financially and to have all of your needs met in an abundant fashion. But again, the danger takes place when we cross that line and we start to trust those things and we abandon our trust in God.
Wow.
Absolutely, when we take it back to what you said before about it's not money that is the it's the love of money.
So
now let's flip it and look at it this way. Now something, I wait on God. Mm-hmm. I turn down that promotion and say, you know, I'm going to make this decision based on the Lord. I'm not taking this promotion. All of a sudden, sometime down the road, God brings around something better.
Yes.
And now you get blessed in the right way. And now that's a beautiful thing, because you can bless the body. You can, you know, bless the vision of the church by tithing. And people get saved and missionaries go out. So there's nothing wrong with prosperity as long as these blessings come from the God Almighty.
Amen. Yeah.
And what made you make that decision? Seek first the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Amen.
Thank you, George.
Love you.
Love you too.
Appreciate that so much. You know, when Achan took the gold, the Babylonian garment, he hid it in his tent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point God tests and tries the hearts of his people. He's always done that. He always will do that. And you got to ask ourselves a question. What would a search of our tents reveal? Oh. But let's change the word. What would a search of our hearts mm-hmm. reveal, right? You know, is God going to find a cabinet filled with faith or a closet filled with things or ambition, a room filled with hope or a safe in our homes filled with stocks and bonds? Again, don't get me wrong. None of that stuff is bad, but are we trusting it?
Same chapter, Matthew 6, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
That's it, right there. Let's go to Jenny next. Welcome to the broadcast, Jenny. Great to hear from you. Go right ahead.
Good morning, Pastor Love, Pastor Brown.
Good morning.
I'm sitting here at the kitchen table with this a notebook, Virgin's Treasury of Psalms, my Bible, because I'm doing this study on the Lord being our portion. And as the two of you are speaking, it's like you're really helping me kind of flesh out this study. And I thought, you know, in Psalm 62:10, it says, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. So it doesn't say anything about riches increasing being wrong.
Yes.
Or being detrimental. But if they do increase in the sovereign will of God, just okay, enjoy them, but don't set your affections on them. And I think that with the examples that you gave and of Achan and Joshua and in the book of Joshua and Ananias and Sapphira, that their hearts were attached to the things of this world and to temporal possessions, and that was a problem. Yeah. You know, and that's a problem with us, is when riches increase, or you know, we have prosperity, we can get derailed a little bit, and our portion becomes the things of this life. Like, you know, David, I was reading in Psalm 17, let's see where it says, deliver my life from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of this world, these poor moths of the night, whose portion in life is idle and vain. And then it says their bellies are filled. And it's like, I think the Lord, like you said, Pastor Love, he tests our hearts and our emotions and our thoughts. And then when he knows that we can withstand the prosperity test and glorify him in it, then riches might increase. And he can trust us by grace not to set our affections on them.
Wow.
Excellent.
Well said. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jenny. That's a great portion.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but this idea that the Lord can be our portion. It's like, you know, I don't know about you two, but when I think of a portion, that word portion, I think of a big piece of apple pie, you know, cut from the pie, and that's my portion. And so it's always a part of something of a whole, but when the Lord is our portion, he is everything. There's none upon earth we desire but him. And he's everything. He's the whole pie.
Well said.
And then some.
Jenny, you're making me hungry.
Jenny, thank you.
Coming, Pastor Brown.
Go on. Thanks, like Jenny. We appreciate the call.
Thank you for this program.
God bless you.
God bless.
Wow. You know, learning to invest in the currency of heaven is so important.
Yeah.
You know, because again, everything in this world, the fashion of this world, it passes away. The world's economy, come on. We hear about it every day in the news.
Yeah.
It's in jeopardy, you know, inflation on the rise. You know, what's going to happen? Everybody's worried about, you know, their stocks and the money they've invested. I mean, again, some of those people include believers as well, but you know, where's your faith? Where's your trust? Everything about this world is going to decay. It's going to rot. It's going to rust. It's going to lose its value. It's going to go out of style. But our faith in God is only going to be enhanced with every passing moment. And we want that faith to grow. We want that faith to flourish. We want our trust to be deepened. And we know that God has a plan to do just that in our lives, yeah, because it just simply comes down to that. Yeah. We're going to leave this world. And as Job said, we came into this world, and we will leave it exactly the same way.
As Billy Graham said, that there's no hearses with U-Hauls.
Exactly. You've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse.
Yeah, I think it's by what you see. What is your objective? Faith has an objective. If you're a believer and you're walking by faith, faith has an object. You're not just believing blindly. And that object of your faith is what, and that kind of goes to the Matthew 6:21. It's guiding the way you live your life. Because where your focus is, your faith follows. Okay, so where's my focus? And when you read Matthew 6:33 about seeking, it's talking about keeping the focus. When those questions come about, where am I going to live? What job am I going to take? How am I going to spend my money? How am I going to handle money? Where's my focus? Where my focus is, my faith will follow. My faith will follow. I think the challenge for us is to keep the focus and to check my focus, to not assume that I have the right focus. You know, it's like glasses with dirt on it. Sometimes you get dirt on your glasses. You don't even know you've got dirt on your glasses. And you say something's wrong and you realize, oh yeah, my glasses are dirty. Check your focus. I'm reminded of a story. Henry Ford hired a new manager, and he asked the new manager, why are you here? He said, I'm here to make money. Henry Ford said, are you sure? I'm here to make money. So Henry Ford, the man was wearing glasses. He removed the man's glasses. He taped a gold coin onto each one of the lenses and gave him back his glasses. He said, because if that's all you see, then this is all you'll need. You're not going to see God. You're not going to see people. You're not going to see our projects. You just want to see money. So let me help you out. And he taped money to the guy's glasses. And some believers walk around with money taped to their glasses because that's all they see. And that's their focus. And that's where their faith is.
Mm, it's so true. I'm reminded of a verse Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, who makes you different one from another? Mm. And what is it that you have that you did not receive?
Yes.
Now, if you did indeed receive it, how can you glory as if you didn't receive it? I mean, in my own life, practically speaking, my own personal testimony, God has provided my every need. I can just look back with a great sense of satisfaction and say, look at how faithful God was. Look at how God provided. And really, the driving force of the last 50 years of our lives has been, let's seek the kingdom of God first.
It's amazing.
And to those who adopt that principle, that foundational principle as a priority for their lives, do they lack? Are they always in need? Are they always wanting? The answer is no. Hmm. They've got a shepherd. And because the Lord is shepherding them, mm-hmm, they don't live in that prison of want.
Beautiful.
Driven to get this need met and to get that need met. No, they just believe that God is going to provide for them. Hmm. And that's what God wants us to learn as we navigate our way through life.
Beautiful.
Final thoughts, Pastor, before we wrap up today's broadcast.
You said it really best, that really it's about God is teaching me through the opportunities. And I didn't see this before. God is teaching me through the opportunities presented to me through prosperity and poverty, the opportunities to, like you said, simply trust him. And every time I've got an option in front of me, I've got thinkings in front of me, I have to think about, who do I trust? Because where my treasure is, there's where my heart is also. And that, and because of verse 21, it will define verse 33 for me.
Mm. And isn't it true that, spiritually speaking, nothing breeds failure like success? Uninterrupted prosperity, yeah, is the most dangerous thing that you and I will face in our lives. Well, uninterrupted blessings, materially speaking, uninterrupted blessing from a consumer standpoint, again, it's going to breed potentially great failure in our lives. But when we have needs, when we, sense the poverty of our own souls,
sure,
what do? We turn to God. We trust him. We wait upon him. We, as Dietmar has shared with us in our chat here today, when we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our hearts.
Amen.
Psalm 37, verse 4. We're out of time, friends, but thanks so much for joining us. Pastor Rinaldo, thanks for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you, sir.
And friends, we'll be back for the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour, so we hope that you will tune in tomorrow. I want to remind those of you listening in the Baltimore area, tonight's our midweek service at 7 p.m. You can come out and join us for a great time of worship, and you can learn the value of what it means to trust in God and Him alone. He won't disappoint. Thanks for being with us. Join us tomorrow at the same time.